Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, May 18th, late in the night. Monday Night Raw just finished, and you've tuned in here to Mega Powers Radio for the most interactive post-Raw experience, the Raw post-show, presented by Mega Powers Radio. Very interesting Raw we had tonight. We had, well, three advertised title matches. Only two of them, I believe, actually ended up happening. Another NXT star made his main roster debut. How far that's going to play in, we'll talk a little bit more about that. A lot of things actually worth talking about in this Raw. Whether it was good or bad, I think we'll debate on along the way. We certainly want to hear what you got to say about it along the way. Be telling you a little bit about that. But first, let me just tell you a little bit about some plugs we got here. If you enjoy the show and everything here at Mega Powers Radio, we would appreciate your support if you could find us on patreon.com. You may have heard of this website. Find Mega Powers Radio on there. I've already got that set up today. Lots of ways you can get little rewards. Nothing too fancy there right now. Mostly just ways for you to get personalized shout outs and ways to hear yourself on the show. But we still appreciate your support in any way. Also, if you enjoy this show and you want to consistently find us, you can find us live every single Monday. MegaPowersRadio.com is the place to be. And we are also available by subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, all those places where podcasts are found. And while you're finding us there, leave us some positive feedback or a comment or a 5-star rating or honestly, whatever star rating you want. Prefer if it's a 5-star. But anything you could do, any activity that goes on there helps us climb the charts and find some other listeners onto the show. So support us all those ways, gets more people involved. And the more interactivity, the more fun we have with the show here on the Raw Post Show. As I said before, we want to get you involved along the way besides us host talking here. If you want to join the show, we're going to be opening up our phone lines around 11:30. Dial in to get yourself in line. Area code 760-512-7247. Punch those numbers in on your phone, be it a cellular or a landline, whatever the heck you're still using in this age. You can also use Skype. Either one of those will get you in the queue to talk here live on the show. If you're shy or maybe you just don't have either of those means, you could also join us in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com. Also, Twitter at Raw Post Show, the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. Tons of ways. We're always looking to hear what you've got to say, so throw that out along the way across the next hour and a half while we're live here on Mega Powers Radio. In the meantime, though, it's going to be me and my cast of hosts that I have with me here. My name is Mike Payton, station director here and host of the Raw Post Show here every Monday night. With me tonight, I have the main man of the Drew Crew, or as they are known this year, the fucking shitheaded losers, Mr. Drew White. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing pretty good. The fucking shithead losers are kind of a bit down right now, but I believe they will pick up eventually as well.
Fucking shitheaded losing.
Yeah, the fucking shithead losers are fucking shithead losing. Hey, listen. We're like the Cleveland Indians in a major league. Trust me, we'll make a few acquisitions. We'll turn it around by the end of the season.
So we lots of people are offended by the name of your team?
Pretty much. I bet someone is. There's probably a fucking shit-headed loser out there. Probably very, very disappointed you assigned me that name this year. And that person will be pressing charges. It might be Jeff. I might call JD's lawyer to solve the case.
I will look forward to that. Whose Fantasy League team is not doing too bad right now, though, is Mr. Tony Mango, headman of Smark Out Moment, Fanboys Anonymous, and the Smack Talk podcast. What's shaking, Tony?
Man, those tykes, they're growing up, beating some ass, getting some points. I'm all down for it.
This is why they're two.
Yeah. they got the terrible twos. That's what's happening.
Well, also with us is the... Man, I'm trying to think of something creative to give you here. I can't think of it. So it's Mr. Steven Wago. What's shaking, dude?
I am good. Thank you for the well-thought-out introduction.
I had a lot of plugs I had to put out already. I couldn't get to the point where I wrote stuff for you. You're just not that high on my priority list.
And whilst people are thinking about giving to our Patreon account, also consider Matt Hardy. He's going through some hard times right now. If you search his GoFundMe, you too can help him out of his horrible living situation.
It's awful. I absolutely feel for him. I hope I never find myself in such a situation. That's all I can say. So yeah, guys, lots of shit went down on Raw tonight. I actually thought it was a pretty damn fun show, all things considered. And I want to hear what y'all got to say, though. So I'm going to start it off with the usual first question. I start here. What's the one thing you took away after this 3-hour-plus show? Tony?
Man, I don't know if there really is one thing that stood out to me. I kind of liked a lot of the show and a lot of the other stuff that I wasn't too fond of. It wasn't that bad. I guess it was just like a solid, decent Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Solid.
Way up.
Kevin fucking Owens.
Oh, yes.
Fuck the hell yes. I marked out tonight. I marked out when he came to the ring, and I got pissed off when he was a bit of a cock tease. And then when he fucking laid Cena out and made the announcement that he'd be facing about Chamber, I marked out again. So just for that alone, the show is great in my book.
Let me backtrack and say, cool guys are cool. That's what I took away. Owens, Ryback, Ambrose. It's cool guys doing some cool things.
Yeah. That's a pretty astute observation of the cool guys. Let's head to our resident cool guy. Wait, no. Drew?
We're not really cool guys. We're fucking Shay losers still. I don't know if you forgot that in the past 15 seconds, but I have to agree with Wago. The one thing I took away for her was Kevin fucking Owens, you know? Any questions I really had for him going when he first debuted on NXT, I think most of them have been answered now. And I'm honestly, I'm actually very fucking excited for him to be on the main roster. So whenever he does debut, or like if this was his official debut, whenever he gets called up to be more of a regular guy in the rotation, then by all means, I'm like pumped and excited for it all.
Indeed. Pulling a couple comments we got here out of the chat room. By God, saying Ambrose is the perfect placeholder feud until the Brock Rollins match. I am loving it. I agree. I'm digging what they got going with him. I'm glad they chose him. And I'm also going to say I am glad that Dean Ambrose was not the one to take the pinfall in that match last night, unlike some people were saying he was.
Yeah, Drew.
Yes, I don't think I said that. It probably was Miguel. I didn't talk much during that
segment. No, it was Wago.
That was Wago. Yes.
If it was Miguel, are you sure it's not Jason?
as a matter of fact, it was both.
Yeah, Jason, was it Brian?
Yeah, Jason said it first, then Wago stole it, and then Miguel stole it again later.
No, I said it before, so Jason said it.
Oh, okay.
Well, good for you.
Jason put me off.
Ferris 419 saying Tony Mango spits in the face of those who refuse to be cool.
We're Cuban. If you remember that joke.
By God, saying crazy how Owens is going to get Cena buried in his first WWE match. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know. But they just changed it to a buried alive match. So.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, there you go. I think there's a number of ways they could play out to keep guys looking strong. I could see Kevin Owens really like kicking Cena's ass for a majority of this match. And probably the only reason he loses is an interference by whether it's Sami Zayn or Finn Balor or whoever is his opponent is going to be going forward. That's what I would likely see happen.
My dream scenario is he just does what he did to Sami Zayn and just knocks him the fuck out. So the referee has to stop the match and just give him the title.
Well, obviously they don't stop matches after someone's knocked out, as we saw in last night's I Quit match. So
apparently not. Fuck Stone Cold versus Bret Hart, right?
Indeed. Continue just from the top here, I guess. We had an authority promo start the show. Big fucking surprise. I don't even remember what the hell they set up in this.
They set up that Ambrose, Orton, and Reigns wasn't going to get a shot, and then Ambrose got a shot.
I thought Ambrose had a shot.
Apparently they basically did that whole thing where they were like, we're going to come back out later and do the same thing and tout how awesome Rollins is.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I actually got a fear at one moment during this segment when they had fucking Sheamus and then Ryback come out. And I thought they were just going to do that thing where like six guys just come out in a row saying, no, I should be Intercontinental Champion. No, I should be Intercontinental Champion.
I'd actually be okay with that. I fucking love that when it's done well.
I still think that they should do that one time where the entire roster comes out one by one, and it's like the first hour of the show.
That's how they should set up a Royal Rumble.
Because it's like, how convenient is it that it's always like the six guys that are going to be in there?
Hmm.
You know, like, why wouldn't somebody like Bo Dallas come out and be like, what the fuck? I want to be in this match. Or like Heath Slater come out and be like, you never pay any attention to me. I want a title match too if everybody else is coming out and demanding it. Like,
he's been trying to get a title match for like the last month.
Well, that's true. Slater's got the right idea.
So, basically, we saw a lot of development for our Intercontinental title Elimination Chamber matchup. We know who all the participants in that are now. Two first ones we learned, and it looks like what one of the big stories going into it is going to be between Sheamus and Ryback, two big brute guys who they could beat the shit out of each other. Very similar to how I think we saw Ryback and Bray Wyatt do last night. So if that's something that we see developing into this and is maybe something that continues after Elimination Chamber, I'm not too bad with that. You guys have any thoughts about it, though?
I'm glad that they decided to just get rid of the Bray Wyatt feud already, because it wasn't really making all that much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hats off to them. They had a good match. Like, he's great. You know, like he, you know, made the whole, like, the crowd's chanting, you look stupid, and he's got stupid as one of his catchphrases. So it's like, you look stupid. Ah, look at that. I did my catchphrase. Like, and the best part of the whole thing, hey, big guy's got the microphone. Big guy's talking, Steph. So fucking serious.
Steph for once didn't bite his head off. She was just like, oh, shit. Okay.
He's like, the big guy's hungry. Wants a big sandwich from Arby's.
Fucking love those Arby commercials.
Then we make big ass sandwiches. Bum, bum. It's totally written by Ryback. He's the fucking man. How can you not love Ryback when he does this stupid shit? And he, like,
well, I do have meat.
Does that cackle that he does? Like, he looks so proud of himself.
Well, these guys had a matchup to start the show off. It was all right. I mean, I have a feeling they were holding back a lot. Plus, I think Ryback might be legit hurt from last night. And I think that might have held back a bit. Or at the least, he was selling it, as Wago says he's not doing. But he obviously was tonight.
Okay, so sells it in the match that he doesn't need to sell it in.
Okay. Well, Sheamus gets the bro kick for the pinfall victory and looks stronger going into the Intercontinental Championship Elimination Chamber match, which, spoiler, if you don't want to know this potential spoiler, go ahead and fast forward about a minute or so, maybe 5 minutes. I don't know how long we're going to talk about this. If you're listening to live, just mute it for a second. But there's some scoops reports showing that they're already advertising in local markets for Sheamus to be the Intercontinental Champion. So, there you go.
So now you don't have to watch Elimination Chamber. Good for you.
At least you don't have to watch that match. Everything else should be fantastic. Some of the stuff.
Chamber is shaping up to be fucking awesome.
Maybe the people that wrote that report are just using Drew's internet connection.
Is that, god damn it,
how can they still make mistakes like this?
Well, because they're stupid.
But I mean, in this age that we're in, you know how fast stuff spreads. You know it's the age of the internet. Do you really have to can't you just advertise that Sheamus is going to be there? Did you have to say he was going to be Intercontinental Champion Sheamus?
When I remember back in November, it was right after Rusev won the title, and I believe when I saw like one of those promos they have for Indianapolis, or enter city name here, Raw's coming to enter city name here.
Oh, they do that in all cities? Because I get those around here too. It's like, New York, hey, New York.
Yeah.
Yo, Philadelphia, give us some money, come on.
Like they always feature like one thing on it, and I think they feature a Rusev thing, I believe. But I swear to God, I think then I might have just forgot about it. But I do think they might have mentioned him being U.S. champion, and this was before he won the championship in November. So I'm not 100% certain about that. But if they did do that, then maybe we just haven't noticed it before or something. I don't know. But I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. It's the Intercontinental Champion. Out of all the people in the that match, that unless someone gets swapped out, Sheamus might be the most deserving one, other than maybe King Barrett. I mean, I don't know why R-Truth's in there, but I think Sheamus, it makes sense for him to take the title off. To me, it felt like Sheamus would have taken the title off of Bryan eventually for the storyline And they were doing that. He's the big guy that's not Ryback. So you never know.
We talked a little bit about this, the whole idea that, like, the live events just sell because people want to go to see a wrestling event. I can't imagine that anybody would be like, you know, I really am thinking about going to see this, but they don't have a current Intercontinental Champion advertised and I can't go.
No,
but,
when I went to they had a WWE Raw live event on like a Friday, and when I was at college, the main event that they were like advertising was Cena versus Kane in a street fight. So if they were advertising that, then they were definitely. I guess it really just depends on who they're trying to advertise to get. When I went, there were so many fucking kids there. So I guess you could just, based on that, and they might just, maybe it just depends on where they're at, is where they try to sell a certain match, because I know some cities are more smarky. I guess Terre Haute was a little bit of a quieter, child-friendly thing, so you never know.
I think it'd be funny if they just went, like, complete asshole mode, and since it's card subject to change, they're just kind of like, hey guys, come see the WWE live event where fucking Vader fights Undertaker, and like, all these people that aren't on the actual card anymore.
I remember in 2012, they were advertising the SmackDown event in, like, July, and it was right after Johnny Ace, or Johnny Laurinaitis, was released of his duties as the GM, and they were still advertising John Cena to face John Laurinaitis at a SmackDown event, so I thought that was weird then, but I don't even know if they actually end up fighting, so fun fact.
We got a couple tweets from Dane Quinn on Twitter here. One of them saying, Sheamus is the man and should be the IC champion. He also tweets to what we were talking about before. My guess is Kevin Owens will lose or win via disqualification so he doesn't become the champ. It doesn't look bad. P.S. Rusev never quit.
Hero of a nation.
Any other thoughts about Sheamus? No?
I just wanted to say I thought their match tonight was actually solid. Surprised what they did considering who was involved. Normally, big man matches don't go so well, so I'm all for it.
It just depends on who's the big guy in most situations in the match.
I don't know. Ryback's just been having a good track record recently. Hats off to him for improving. So as far as the whole chamber thing goes, I'm a little disappointed that they've announced, hopefully they change the plans on who the IC champ is, kind of like how they changed their plans on the triple threat to a fatal four-way. But we'll see what happens.
Maybe they'll add more slots into the Elimination Chamber, so it could be an 8-man Elimination Chamber match, because why not?
Yeah, they'll just build some extra chambers, right?
No, they'll just make it a 6-sided instead of 4-sided ordeal.
All right, well, we had a fun backstage segment with the Authority, where Dean Ambrose crashes in as they're celebrating Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose just being total fucking smartass to everybody in the room, especially at the end, after everyone else leaves, just him and Kane, and he starts running down Kane for, what did he call him? Like a glorified butler, a neutered dog or something like that. He also brings up, what would Paul Bearer think of you right now? And Kane gets super pissed off, saying, don't ever mention my family. Oh, that was fun.
Yep.
We have Indeed. Renee Young standing in the ring looking absolutely fucking beautiful, as she always does. She invites out Neville, the new sensation Neville, I should say.
Looking awkward as hell, as he always does.
You know what? They should make that cape, like, really small. Like a comically small cape on him. Like, I think that would look hilarious.
Yeah, and then he'll struggle to get it off even fucking more.
And they should also give him, like, one of those really small cowboy hats. Kind of like Kurt Angle wore that one time.
You know what they need to give him? Fucking Velcro. He cannot take that fucking thing off. He did better tonight. Fucking one out of how many entrances?
I think instead of doing the Velcro, they should just have the two ends attached to his ears.
Well, okay then. He talks. I can't tell you much of what he said because I could barely understand half of it.
Oh, wasn't that bad?
He's eventually interrupted by Bo Dallas coming out, being inspirational as he always does, running down Neville. But Neville is quick to remind him who that he beat to win that NXT title way back when. He believes it was him. Dallas tackles him down and just kind of like punches on his knee, which looks fucking stupid. stupid as hell. Did not look like he was actually doing any damage to it. Then we hear King Barrett coming down to the ring to start a match between Neville and Barrett, a rematch from last night and a rematch from King of the Ring for that matter. This was just a beating. King Barrett just beat the shit out of Neville throughout this match. Neville tried. He fought as hard as he could, but he had a bad leg. I guess he got injured from the match last night at Payback. I don't remember that happening at any point. Plus, Bo Dallas attacked it. Bo Dallas was on commentary, by the way. Him and JBL together is a fantastic package. Like, Bo Dallas himself, I'm realizing, is not that funny, but JBL selling everything about Bo Dallas is fucking exquisite. King Barrett picking up the victory, of course, getting a pinfall after Neville goes for one of his leapfrogs off the ropes. Unfortunately, his leg gives out. He falls down, takes a bullhammer, and falls to the pin. Any thoughts about this whole situation here?
I think it showed that JBL was the only one that got the Bo Dallas character, and he was the only one feeding him material. So that was a shame that he couldn't do more with Booker T and fucking Michael Cole. Especially Booker T. Called him Mr. T once, and Booker was like, the fuck, you had me a dead baby or something? Like, you went insane.
JBL was the one that was really selling the 21 and Bo back when he was undefeated. So, I mean, I guess it made sense that he'd sell the most now.
As far as the match goes, I'm fine with it because what Barrett and Neville for the most part have been doing is giving us something different each time they've been out there. And I haven't got bored of it yet, which surprises me because typically when they have guys wrestle this often as they have, I get bored of it real easy. So hats off to them, and I'm wondering when they're going to blow it off because I don't want them to drag it out too long.
The last time I remember feud that was like this long where we would enjoy it this much was maybe like Usos and the Harp or the Y family, depending on how you look at it. So
the Harp,
I mean, the Harper.
I almost called it that. I was like, oh, well, but I don't know. For the most part, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed that. So maybe, and I never thought that feud went on for too long. I enjoyed every match. I think people started complaining towards the end. It was the same thing week in and week out, but they were still putting on enjoyable matches, even if you've seen it a couple times. So, I don't know. Maybe these guys can keep on pulling it out, but I'm actually kind of losing interest in the King Barrett gimmick as a whole, or just Wade Barrett. I don't know what it is exactly, but there's just something about him that I do not enjoy as much as I used to, which is a shame, but I think he'll be able to turn it around moving forward.
The biggest thing that Barrett needs to elevate himself more is more microphone time. That guy's a solid in-ring worker, but the money's in his mic work, and they need to give him, I don't care if it's just an extra couple minutes before each match or more segments, but he needs to be given more of a chance to speak.
Is he not Bad News Barrett anymore?
He's King Barrett right now. He just kind of doesn't do his Bad News catchphrase, which I think is a mistake. I don't think you automatically have to have a King gimmick if you win the King of the Ring. I think it would have just been a better title for him.
Lesnar won the King of the Ring. He wasn't King Brock Lesnar. He was still Brock Lesnar. Or with Kurt Angle, you know, you get always multi gimmicks if you really need
Kurt Angle did come out with a King garb.
Yeah, well, he was still.
But it was a one-time deal,
and he was still except he was also an Olympic winner still, and that was still him. But I mean, he wasn't this guy. I'm a King.
All different
now.
People have gone into it to different degrees. Yeah. I mean, like, not everyone has had like slaves carry them out on a throne like Mabel
They should do that, actually. That sounds perfect. Just have a bunch of like little white men just carry someone out. That would be perfect for me.
And there's a reason that Brock Lesnar was never a king. It's because he's a conqueror. Just saying.
Yeah, there's conquerors that are
I'm just
kings.
Saying that like
Triple
you know,
H, King of Kings.
I am fine.
Triple H just steals a new fucking catchphrase each week. Like, he was the ass kicker after Brock Lesnar was the ass kicker because fuck you, he's not here right now.
Well, with King Barrett, I like the idea of it. King Barrett is Wade Barrett, but he can still be Bad News Barrett. That's all I'm saying. He can do both. He's a king of kings, so you never know.
You can just call it Royal Decree.
We're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a moment here, but before we get to that, I want to take a little bit of time to reflect on some terrible shit that's been happening on this station lately. Quite offensive actions of people that have been crossing the line and doing things to beloved members of this station that we just do not like sitting back and watching happen repeatedly. We've been having people investigate what's happened to it. We've been finding no answers to the Cretans responsible for the actions of it. And I don't know. We're hoping that we can get some more answers about it at some time soon. But for now, I just want to give you guys a little replay of what went down. I'm, of course, talking about the running down of Time Cow. It's heartbreaking every time I hear it.
It's weird to think that was like a more than a month ago now. Jeez, time flies.
Well, you know what's not flying is Time Cow anymore.
I bet he got wings and went to heaven. You know, he was a good cow.
No, I'm pretty sure Time Cow is down there being cooking steaks. Time Cow had a lot of enemies. So... All right, so let's open up the phone calls. Let's get some callers on here, get the conversation rolling back to more relevant topics of Raw. Let's go ahead and bring on a number that I don't think we've heard from here in a while. It's someone from the 540 area code. Let's get this rolling on here. I don't remember where the theme music is.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. Maybe I deleted the music.
I got it. Starve.
Anyone got Miguel's shitty outro on hand?
We got
it. All right. Well, I guess this will just have to do.
I just did it.
Caller from 540, we got you on the line. Who's there?
I'm back!
Oh, shit. What's up, dude? No. Hello?
Surprise, motherfucker!
He's gone.
He's gone.
Yep.
Hold on to your butts.
How y'all doing?
Hold on to my butt now.
I'm doing snarf-tastic.
We're pretty butthurt about it.
See, that's why I wanted my butt.
So, Jeff, what did you think about Raw tonight?
So, what?
What were you about to say, Jeff?
What was I about to say? I was about to get ready to go to Monday Night Raw.
What?
Oh, you're going there? The show's over, dude. You missed it.
And I'm glad that I'm back tonight, too, as well. And, also glad to be back on Mega Powers Radio.
Are you listening to the Buzzer Show?
Apparently, I don't know. Weird. Jeff, what do you think about Raw tonight?
But anyway, again, let's get started on Monday Night Raw.
Okay. It's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yep. So, my first thought is, how the hell are we going to start off with Seth Rollins and the Authority? We always start
because he's the
off
WWE
with those
champion
guys again.
So you still tune in each week, so why is it a big deal?
Yep.
Yep. And Triple H and Dean Ambrose interrupts and says, I want a WWE championship match. Well, not really. And then Kane comes out.
Code for Kane.
Gotta be Kane.
Well, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. Well, Sheamus and Ryback came out, and the fans said, "You look stupid," to Sheamus. "You look stupid." And then Ryback comes out next and says, "Ryan, you're the one that injured Daniel Bryan."
Oh.
And then Stephanie says, "The fans are predictable." And you know what Ryback says? "Big guy has the microphone. Big guy does the talking, Steph." And we get a match between Ryback and Sheamus. And also, they're going to be in the Elimination Chamber. And Sheamus wins this match, which is no surprise. And then you have Seth Rollins backstage. And Dean Ambrose says he wants to give Rollins a rematch at Elimination Chamber. Only if Rollins will put the title on the line. And then Rollins is like, "No, you're at the back of the line with Roman Reigns and Randy Orton." And then Kane and Ambrose are in the ring. And then Kane and Ambrose are in the room together, and Ambrose says, "What would Paul Bearer or The Undertaker think about him?" He's like, "You are going to face Bray Wyatt tonight."
Sucks to be you, nerd.
And then we have Neville interviewed with Renee Young, and then Poe Dallas comes out and refers to him as the little engine that couldn't. And then Bo tackles Neville, goes to work on the tape man, and Neville beats him up. And then we have King Bad News Barrett, which Bad News Barrett wins, of course.
All right, we're gonna run down the whole show, like every segment by segment. But listen, man, in the Mega Maniacs, you posted some kind of like weird shit, thinking that you knew something about a what was that about?
What's that? Well, you guys know I have a new picture, right? And
you lost your hair.
I used to have long hair, but now I'm have bald. I'm like Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can call me Bald Jeff now.
No, I'm just going to call you not Jeff. So. But anyways, why did you decide to get rid of all your hair? Was it just, you know, people wanted you to, or cancer, or what was it exactly?
It wasn't
cancer, right? That's awful.
It wasn't cancer, guys. I promise. I just decided to shave it all.
We lost time, Cal. We didn't need to lose you too, Jeff. That's for damn sure. We didn't need to lose two of our biggest fans.
I'm still alive and kicking. The girl's name who called me out is Eileen Sharita.
Wait, she called you out?
I don't know who the hell she is, but.
Where is your proof of this, young man?
Yeah, these are pretty serious allegations you're making here, dude. You don't even know this chick.
She got on my profile picture, and she said something like this.
What?
And she said something like this. She said, "Call into Mega Powers Radio, goddammit."
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay, then. Thank you for letting us know. Have a good night. All right, guys, so we're going to continue the conversation rolling here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Most interactive post-Raw experience available. Phone lines are open for you to call in. Area code 760-512-7247. Twitter at Raw Post Show. Tweet to us on there. Chat room is filled with lots of cool peeps in there. I don't think I gave a rundown. Awesome Piano Man joined us tonight, making a rare appearance. Back out. Creep us on the radar. Ferris 419. Chaotic. Wazili. Where's Silent One the Doom? Who the fuck does he think he is? Huh? Huh?
Joe took his spot. What?
Guys can unmute now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
My bad. Sorry, it was really funny.
So,
I'm curious who this Eileen chick is.
Well, now we know.
I didn't understand what he said, so what was the deal?
Yeah, I have no idea what happened.
I don't know. Apparently she commented on his photo or something.
Apparently it was the only one he's ever got.
Sure.
So a girl actually talked to him for once, and the first thing he does is call us and tell us?
The first thing he does is accuse her of banging the fake JD.
You must be banging the fake JD because you're talking to me. Oh my god.
Okay.
What?
If you're a normal caller, please can't call into the show. Like, yeah, fully. Cleanse my ears of that.
Well, speaking of people who don't know how to talk to women, we had Rusev out in the ring with Lana, screaming at her, saying that she was worthless. Forget the exact terms he used, but basically pissing her because he's saying he never said "I quit" in that match last night, despite the fact that Lana said specific words that he said that represented "I quit" in the language. But Rusev still denies it and tells Lana to leave and that they're through, and Lana leaves quite upset, and Rusev's kicking ropes and shit. And it's official. The split of Rusev and Lana has gone through. Later on in the evening, we had Dolph Ziggler out in the ring. I think he had a match with someone. It wasn't important. What was important is that Dolph Ziggler was having a promo where Lana came out, gave him a kiss right on the lips, not once, but twice. Rusev comes out, of course, not happy about this, goes to attack Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler ends up getting the one up on him with a super kick, but he still leaves with Lana on his arm. So Lana gone from Rusev, looked like she's going with Dolph Ziggler, and two of these guys got some beef. What do you guys got to say about that?
I have a question. Did I miss something? Did something happen between Lana and Dolph that I'm just forgetting?
No. I guess she just thought he was hot or something.
So she just went on the rebound and decided to make out with some guy publicly?
That's yep. Lana for you.
Yeah. All right, so she's so Lana. A rebound.
She's a skank.
Should rebound skank. Awesome. Yeah. I love that gimmick.
I think that's the exact kind of chick that Dolph Ziggler likes. So,
yeah, she is becoming more American.
I was expecting her to let her hair down in that segment where she just came out and just like pulled out her bun and then kissed him.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome. She needs to get rid of that shit. Makes her face look alien. as far as Rusev goes, wow. He went from being the guy that John Cena couldn't barely bring to say "I quit" to getting laid out by Dolph Ziggler like it's nothing.
Well, tell you, man, he lost Lana. That's a lot, big blow to the character of Rusev.
So,
and a big blow to Dolph Ziggler backstage.
Heyo.
Just remember, folks, wrestling John Cena elevates you.
I do not feel optimistic for Rusev's future without Lana by his side.
Maybe if Rusev fights Cena and he loses Lana, maybe when Kevin Owens fights Cena, he'll lose his kid, and then there'll be no reason for him to be a dick anymore.
And you know what? I don't even see why. Like, what does Dolph Ziggler really benefit from having Lana?
Gives him.
What good is Lana going to do for anybody else that she's not going to do for Rusev? Why? My hope is that this is all just a ruse. That it's just going to be something to help Rusev get the Intercontinental title or something somehow.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a fake out where she like low blows Dolph Ziggler randomly and fucking Rusev gets the win. That type of shit. Lana and Rusev are too good of a package to split up. Lana's a fantastic hater for Rusev to get his character over. And whilst Rusev can talk and he's gotten a lot better at it, Lana's so much better at it. Mm-hmm. Dolph Ziggler, for all his shortcomings, can talk if he needs to. He really doesn't need Lana. If it's just a means to get these guys to feud, that's okay, but I want to see the Rusev and Lana back as a package again.
Yeah, I think that they're pretty much tailor-made to be with each other. They legitimately are like an item together for a long time, as long as they've been into this wrestling game.
Which is a little worrying because you've said it before, like, reality normally follows suit of what happens in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. Fucking Sable and Mark Mero is one example.
And honestly, I really don't see that much of an upside to Lana without him. Like, Lana's cool, but she's cool in that package. I don't really know if I'm going to like Lana all that much, though. Maybe I will, and I'll see, but I think you got enough other divas that you can focus on stuff like that. It's not like I'm expecting Lana to zoom up like AJ Lee did.
Well, the question I got to ask then is, how much do you buy into the scoop scuttlebutt of they want to make her the face of the Divas division?
I don't.
No, I don't have any. I doubt she will even wrestle a match, honestly.
I think that the best thing they could possibly do with Lana right now, which is really kind of tough to do because how do you transition it? She can't keep the accent. That's one thing that's just such a divisive kind of thing. She goes more for like the Americanized version of herself. You know, she keeps changing it up. Maybe she's not Lana anymore. Maybe she's CJ. Maybe she just keeps the Lana thing. I don't know. But you got to let her have her hair down. You got to let her do something where her strengths are. And really, I mean, it sounds kind of demeaning, but her strengths really aren't anything more than looking good and having somebody that she accompanies. I mean, she's not that great on the microphone where they can give her some kind of like a talk show or make her a part of the commentary team. That.
We don't know how good she is on the microphone yet because we've only seen her in one role. That's true. Not really seen her with her outer accent.
I would think backstage interviewer is the best thing that they could use her for right now. Mm-hmm. Like, she can't be on commentary. That's way too much of a rush.
You know what she could be? She could be the assistant to a heel authority figure.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what she could. That's honestly the route for her. That's the best thing that you could do with Lana.
Is this a fair statement? The reason that she's getting over right now is because you're not meant to cheer for her like it's to piss Rusev off? I mean, once that element's gone, what's so kind of left for her?
She's hot.
Okay. So is most of the divas.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's why she doesn't really stand out, and that's why they can't make her the face of it, because what else does she have to offer? She isn't going to be wrestling. She isn't that great on the microphone to have, like, such a bombastic personality where it's like, my God, we can't even contain this chick. She's so fucking popular. Like, you know, yeah, she's popular enough right now. She's getting the crowd's interest, but that's not going to last forever doing the same thing. You know, I'm kind of okay with them doing the Ziggler thing, though. Ziggler on his own, he could use a little bit of help. Lana on her own is going to just sink. And if this leads to a feud between Lana and Rusev and Ziggler and, you know, that maybe the Intercontinental title is in the mix, maybe not. Maybe the people that are advertising the next champion are going to advertise where this future goes or something. I don't know. But I'm interested because that means that there's not only one person that I think has a shot to win the title. Now there's three. So maybe there's a screw job. Maybe there isn't.
One of them, Kane.
I don't think he has a shot.
Okay. We got another tweet from Dane Quinn. It's the tweet is literally just an emoji of the Russian flag.
I got that message earlier on Snapchat. Along with hashtag disrespectful with a picture of Lana.
Gosh. We got another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring them on here. We're going to take another caller from the area code 321. Caller from 321, you're live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name?
Please be normal.
Please be Eileen.
It's your old friend Miguel Leon from the Untitled Movie Show, guys.
Oh, shit. What's up, Miguel?
You're not Eileen.
Not much. Just listening in on the show. I didn't get a chance to see Raw. I just got home from work, but I skimmed the results over on WrestleZone. And, yeah, I was just listening to you guys' conversation on Lana. Just before I say my opinion on it, have you guys already gone through the Cena promo, or is that next up?
We haven't talked about Cena yet, I don't think. It's a few segments away, but if you got something to say about it, you can bring that up, too.
All right. Let me just say, I disagree with you guys on Lana. I think there's a big future for her. I think I've even said it before on SmackDown Moment. I see her as being the new Sunny. I think she's going to be that presence that they put to promote the WWE. I mean, remember, she's an actual trained actress. She has a past in the entertainment role. That's very perfect true. For a role like
Lana. She just did a movie, too, didn't she?
That person that...
Did she just sign with Vivid Entertainment?
No.
Not that kind of movie.
Yeah. I mean, Lana's been in actual movies. Wasn't she a member of the Pussycat Dolls, I believe, also? Like, she's Lana? Got a background in entertainment.
No, that was Ashley. That was Ashley, the person who hosted Legends House.
No. I think it was Lana as well, if I'm not mistaken. I do believe she was a part of some type of like all female group. But I mean, she's got a background in the entertainment world, and WWE loves that. They love trotting people out like that. I honestly think for her, she's going to be in that Sunny role that Sunny was in '97. She's going to be the one that is like the co-host of whatever special events they have. I mean, she'll be in the role that Renee is in right now. They'll probably slot Renee into something else, maybe move her up to an announcer role, because I know they've been testing her out on NXT with that. But I could see Lana really taking over that role, as far as like non on air product type stuff. As far as her on air character, I don't know. I hate the fact that they have her with Dolph Ziggler, because putting somebody with Dolph Ziggler is like putting a title on Sheamus. It does nothing for either one. It's just kind of a placeholder. And Dolph Ziggler has kind of been in that mid-card hell for so long. I think it almost does Lana a disservice. I think, honestly, she can do a lot more than just being arm candy under Dolph Ziggler. I mean, if it gives Rusev an opponent to go up against, great. I hope that Rusev stays the course. Best case scenario for him, he'll probably be a good heater to put up against baby faces that they're going to build up against, you know, the top guys. Like, he can have the potential to be what Big Show is right now, where if you need a heel to put up against like Roman Reigns or something for him to squash, you can put a guy like Rusev in there. That's his best case scenario. Worst case scenario, he basically comes out dancing to Somebody Call My Mama. You know, that's the worst case scenario for him.
No,
well, I think
I'm hoping he'll be I'm hoping he'll be fired before it falls to that point.
Hey, Miguel, I know you normally buy your drink. Could you get Drew some water so he can stop smacking his fucking lips?
You thirsty there, Drew? You need a glass of water, everybody?
I think everybody needs Drew to get a glass of water, yes.
I'm wondering, this is Miguel. You keep on saying this, Miguel. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't even know
it's the real Miguel. It's not a fake Miguel.
It is actually Miguel.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you're not gonna pull that not Miguel shit on me, all right? I don't call very often as is.
You know what, guys? Maybe this isn't Miguel.
Miguel usually sounds like this.
Yeah, Miguel got a new microphone. This is like
a microphone. I'm talking to my actual cell phone.
Miguel, if you're listening, call in and tell us.
as far as the Lana situation, I think she'll be fine. She's going to be doing bigger and better things. I don't know if they're going to strip her of her Russian Close. Gimmick. I mean, that could be the case. They could take her off TV and just kind of bring her back as a new gimmick. It wouldn't be past WWE to do that. Mm-hmm. Just take her off for like 6 months and then just pretend she never existed.
No, she'll just debut next week in like torn denim with Dolph Ziggler. That'd be kind of hot, actually.
Coming out of CJ Punk. She'll be coming out of CJ Parker. It's not like CJ Parker's around there. They'll follow that name.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
That was good.
You had something to say about Cena, too, you said?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the fact that they're going this route with him and his mystery opponent. I'm not going to say who unless, you know, the fans out there haven't seen it. I want to keep it safe in that
you
regard.
You can say who. But, we're not freaking spoiler-free here. People know.
Okay, yeah, spoiler alert, guys. It's Kevin Owens. But I'm going to give him credit because for the longest time I wasn't against Kevin Owens in a sense that I didn't think he had the potential to go up against the big guy. I just never assumed WWE would ever give him that opportunity. And I'm really happy that they're at least giving him a shot against John Cena. I think a guy like Kevin Owens is the guy John Cena. Yes, I said they got a shot. It'd be even funnier if Tony didn't already ruin the joke beforehand.
With the whole Tony. Thing.
Yeah, what the
way to fuck it up, Tony.
Yeah, what the fuck, Anthony?
Wait, what did I do?
Yeah, Mega.
Oh. Yeah, Anthony. Why can't you be more like Jason?
words from the Salmon Monster. Anyway, as far as Kevin Owens, I really hope this really works out because I think a guy like him is the perfect foil for John Cena. You know, he gets it. He's the type of heel that people aren't going to cheer because he's against John Cena. He'll get the fans to hate him.
And it really is shocking. It's shocking how far they're going with him. It's not like Sami Zayn where he just came up for this one-off just to help promote the pay-per-view. They're going full force with this, like jumping Jeff Farmer levels. They're going to be taking him into a match at Elimination Chamber. Who knows if it might even be something that stretches more long-term. You know, maybe not right away, but maybe they'll pick this up again in a few months when Kevin Owens makes his actual roster debut. I don't know. I'm very excited for this, and I'm happy they're going with it. And actually, I'm going to give credits to the Solid Monster, Jason. There was a really cool idea he pitched about having Bully Ray come over and feud with John Cena and talk about how cool that feud would be, and I would agree that feud would be awesome. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get it, but Kevin Owens and John Cena is a very good consolation prize.
And it does have a lot of similarities.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. I really hope that they know. I hope they let Kevin Owens really embrace his character, and they don't try to inject their own, you know, bright ideas into a guy like that. Because a guy like that just needs to go out there and do his own thing. I mean, you can't micromanage a guy like Kevin Owens. But yeah, I'm going to take care of some things, and I'll see you guys after the show. All right. Talk to you guys later. By the way, quick plug, twitter.com/unmovieshow is the official Twitter for the Untitled Movie Show. If you subscribe to our Twitter page, you get the link to the official YouTube channel. Subscribe to there. We've got backlogs of episodes from our BTR days, and check out the Untitled Movie Show every Wednesday night on YouTube. Just search up Untitled Movie Show, and you'll see the live show there. We usually do it around 8 o'clock, somewhere between 8 to 9, depending on if our systems aren't working. So just follow us on Twitter, then subscribe to us on YouTube, and we'll fill in the blanks from there. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Miguel.
Fucking Christ, Drew. Right, shut the
fuck up, Drew. God. Asshole.
Damn. All right, Miguel. Thanks for calling. Oh, fuck. Well, thank you for calling in, Miguel. I don't know if you're still listening. We'll definitely catch you on the flip-flop, man.
Much as Michael Cole apologized for Booker T's actions, we apologize for Drew White's.
Or as JBL just made fun of Michael Cole's actions tonight.
That's great. Michael Cole getting in the ring doesn't think that we're still on commercial break. JBL's a dick. I love it.
Yeah, you could tell Cole's getting pissed off because when Booker T joins in, he's always that annoying guy that just reiterates what the next guy said and just goes, ah-ha! And then you've got fucking Michael Cole going, yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I bet you Booker T's really fun, but when you're already in a bad mood, he's definitely the kind of guy who can egg it on and make it way worse.
Booker's that guy that he is great to be around if Booker's annoying somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you would be like, that's so funny. Look at Booker pissing him the fuck off. Then he goes something to you and you're like, shut up, Booker.
It's because of what he does after he says something that he finds funny. It's the, aha!
Tell me I didn't just say that.
Fucking Booker's right.
All right. We had a matchup between Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt. Kind of shocking that they put this match together. This is a pay-per-view caliber matchup, and blowing this on Raw, they've probably done it before, but I think this is something that could have been built up way, way more. Honestly, they had a pretty damn good match. We get J&J security interfering, though, knocking Dean Ambrose off the top rope into his sister Abigail for the pinfall for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, I feel like he never wrestles on Raw anymore, like ever. Like he always has promos and shit like that. So I guess it was cool to see him, especially after he had a pretty damn decent match last night and then another pretty damn decent match tonight. I might be becoming a fan of Bray Wyatt as a wrestler.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's really shocking considering this is a guy that we used to tout as having great microphone skills, but awful in ring.
That's debatable.
But now it's shifted where we're saying he's got awful repetitive promos, but his in-ring work's improving. I don't know what's the better of the two evils. Probably what we're getting now is probably the best. Happy with what he's done recently. I'm fine with them giving it away because of how many times we've seen this match already. And gave Bray Wyatt to do something to do in the meantime.
It's a caliber opponent that Bray Wyatt should be facing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And they use it as a means to further promote Dean Ambrose's strife with the Authority, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah, everyone benefited from this, and you got a good match out of it, so there's not too much to complain about.
Got to fill 3 hours somehow, so any other thoughts about this, though?
Thank God it didn't end in something really ridiculous.
I think it could have used an exploding TV. Maybe two.
Just all of the ones that are ringside that we were making fun of the other day. They all just start going off.
We had our first of a series of title defenses tonight. It was the tag team titles being defended by The New Day against Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. Special stipulation because of the events from last night at Payback. Xavier Woods banned from ringside. You don't know why that was. Well, referee wasn't paying attention. Xavier Woods snuck into the ring, rolled up with Cesaro for the pinfall. Why did the referee not do anything about it?
Their hair is
as good as mine.
To be fair, when he did that roll up, what was smart, Xavier Woods took his jacket off before he went in the ring, and then when he got back out, he put it back on.
Hmm.
I know it was something small.
Subtle, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm glad that he put that much thought into it, considering how stupid it was. Yeah.
Woods is smart with that kind of stuff. He knows what he's doing.
He's got a PhD.
Well, you know, he did say he's the brains of the group, so.
That was well done, Ben. Yeah. Pat yourself on the back for that.
Like Barry Horowitz. New Day defending the titles through disqualification. Actually was pretty stupid fucking ending. I think Big E and Kofi were double teaming Kid in the Corner with some kicks. The referee did that shit where they call off the match because they can't keep control. Fucking stupid.
Good job, ref.
And the fun part actually was after this match was done, where like just every fucking tag team imaginable runs out to the fucking ring after each other, just starts doing moves on each other. Primetime players come out looking the strongest in the end of it, doing their millions of dollars dance. I thought this was fun. Titus O'Neil, especially, I forget who it was. Someone jumped off the top rope and he just like caught him, did a side sidebuster, and just like tossed the guy aside and he just like flung him. It was fucking awesome.
He also did like a goose step. Do you see that?
A what?
The goose stepping, like what the Nazis used to do, that weird, like, marching. Fucking Titus O'Neil did that when they were celebrating at the end for a split second. It was like, this is awkward.
I didn't see that, but I saw when he got so excited that he ran into Darren Young and almost knocked him over.
I'm pretty sure that was the same when he was, like, running and he was doing that.
Oh.
How convenient, like, though.
Has he been talking to Batista and getting, like, more crazy ideas off him or something?
How convenient, though, is it that what I had mentioned earlier, that it's always the people that are involved in the match that just go, well, then I'm going to come out and stuff. No appearance from Harper and Rowan and no appearance from the new Mega Powers that come out and were like, I want to be in the tag title match.
Harper
no, you guys
and Rowan,
sit on the side.
I'm most shocked are not involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was there six tag teams? Let's see. We had New Day, yep. Big E, New Day. Cesaro
New Day,
Kid
Cesaro, Los Matadores,
Do you think
players,
those two fuckers are going to fit
Ascension
in one chamber?
And
Lucha Dragons.
Lucha Dragons, yeah. Fucking A.
No, maybe that Harper is the reason why, but then Big E's probably going to be in it. He's going to take a lot of space.
Yeah, but Kofi can just, like, fucking climb to the top of it and hang in there.
Those pods are a pretty good size.
Maybe they'll be even bigger, too. Maybe they'll change it around.
If I was stuck in there with someone, I'd totally fart. I would have to be that dick.
Oh, my God. Imagine being stuck in there with, like, Connor.
Ugh.
And imagine, like, him trying to, like, start conversation with you while you're in there.
Or Mark Henry.
Oh,
or just anyone that sweats a lot and they just like
fucking Rhino would be terrible to be in there with.
Oh God, Rhino.
Yeah.
Oh, Bastion Booger, the worst.
Hang on. How about Atrium when he had the back hair?
Oh, he like rubs on you and God, just got the giblies.
This is probably one of the most disgusting conversations we've had.
Which gross wrestler do you not want to stand next to? It's very offensive.
No, it's not even stand next to. It's locked into a chamber pod with. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Let's think about this. I don't know if I want to be stuck in there with China.
Kali.
Oh, God. Especially because, you know, imagine him trying to stand for like however many minutes he's stuck in there. Like, he'd definitely start leaning on you at one point.
I wouldn't want to stand in there with the Big Show, mainly because he takes up so much room that you will just be kind of squished in the corner, just like, hey, can I have some room, big guy? They won't give you it because he's a dick.
Oh, Ryback, you'd be awesome to be stuck in there with.
Oh, yeah.
The conversations you could have with him.
Ryback would think that it's an adventure. It's a real bonding experience.
You know, this chamber, I was once in a chamber like this.
Hey, let's pretend that there's like a dragon outside and we're like hiding.
He's gonna come out with like a fucking camera locked around his neck. He's like, yo, let's get a picture of us in the chamber.
Biggie's gonna bring a big sack of pillows and he's gonna make a pillow fort around the chamber pod.
Oh my God.
Right, no, what he will do is confessional at church.
No, he'll be like, oh my God, guys, the floor is lava. Jump on the chains quickly. And yeah.
Hey, is this that thing from Bill and Ted?
Tourist Ryback is so much fun.
Yeah. There you go. I'd hate to be in the, like, if I was TJ, I'd hate to be locked in with Jim the Anvil Nighthawk.
Oh,
frustrating father-in-law.
I wouldn't want to be in there with him anyway. He starts getting, like, cold sweats and disgust and shit. Like, ugh.
Well, Zeely mentioned the Boogeyman. What about that?
Boogeyman?
Boogeyman.
It's all a gimmick. Well, I imagine Boogeyman's a cool
guy.
The same
tag team, you're on the same page. He won't be shoving worms down your throat. He might just like say some weird ass shit, but I would hate
to be in with Boogeyman if he was doing that dance that he does to the ring the entire time.
Actually, no. If I could choose one person to not be in it with, it'd be Luke Harper, mainly because his t-shirt must smell like shit. And I feel sorry for anyone who has to deal with it.
Sure.
Telling you, he should just use that t-shirt and his finisher. He just picks up his t-shirt, put his opponent's head under it, and makes him smell it, and they'll pass out.
You know who's the worst guy to be in there with? CJ Parker, and the reason is because you're standing next to CJ Parker.
And he might botch something in
there. You devalue your life by association.
That's a good way to end this one. Then we have John Cena in the ring for the John Cena Open Challenge segment. Of course, he always has to give another promo before it. This time, relying on good old USA Pride. Spend a lot of time talking about how great the colors are, shouting out to some people in the crowd that are in uniform. I'm pretty sure the people that were in the crowd were in the National Guard, too. I'm not an expert on patterns on the camo and all that, but I'm pretty sure those were National Guard people. So, he puts out the open challenge, and of all people for it to be answered by, Kevin Owens. Another one of those moments where I just, like, jumped out of my chair as soon as, like, he would put out the open challenge, and the first thing here is, bear-da-da, fucking stoked, super excited. Kevin Owens comes out, really gives a mean bully promo, as he would, at the same time though being very polite, like saying like, you know, if you don't know who I am, you're not worth my time. And John Cena's like, wait, let's do this right, you're Kevin Owens, NXT champion. He's like, thanks, Cena, thanks.
That was nice, thanks.
Preach.
Really intense back and forth between these guys. One of my favorite parts is where, like, Cena was like, let me give you some advice, son. And Owens just, like, quips right back, no, listen, just because you've been on the main roster, I've been doing this longer than you, so you don't get to give me advice. Really funny when you consider that. Just by this back and forth I saw between these guys here, these guys challenge each other and can bring out something special with each other. And I think this could be a very, very big feud, whether they go full force with it this year or whenever. This is going to be an awesome, awesome back and forth feud.
Cena's got a reputation for, like, just throwing fastballs out there in the ring, and fucking Owens met him every step of the way. This entire promo was golden. And Kevin Owens is one of the few guys that I like to watch outside of WWE. His matches with Generico and Adam Cole were always awesome. So for me to see him already in a feud with John Cena is just an awesome moment for me to mark out and have a good time. And I just hope he doesn't come out looking weak from this, but it's early days, so he's got plenty of time.
Early days.
Kevin Owens was the guy that I thought would have been perfect to knock Cena out and take his title a couple weeks ago. And I started to think, you know what, that's probably not going to happen. Now, just a reiteration of, I definitely want to see that happen. I would love to see that happen at Elimination Chamber, even though I still don't want the U.S. Open Challenge to end, because I love that, too. It's really kind of like double-edged sword, sort of. I want two things to happen, and they can't both happen at the same time. But Owens was fucking great. He has kicked so much ass. And I don't think that there's been anybody that really has come in the past couple of years that, like, they were touted as being, you know, something special, and right off the bat, I believed it. Owens is somebody I didn't know jack shit about until NXT. He did his first match, and I was like, damn, that was a good match, and he was against fucking CJ Parker, of all things. And then he goes immediately into a feud for the title, and I want him to win it. That night, I want him to beat Sami Zayn. Ever since then, he's been proven that he is just worthy of this attention. And all the praise and all that other stuff that they're doing backstage. So fucking Kevin Owens comes out here with the guy in the company, and he holds his own on the mic. You know, that right there, you should be sold that he's a main event guy.
Random thought. So you said that you don't want to see this US title open go away. Would you be okay with him? Would you be okay with them gimmicking the title to have that as a stip for each week?
Supposed to be the working man's title. That'd make a lot of sense, I think. Didn't that used to be the TV title gimmick back in the day?
It might have been. I never really paid attention to any promotion that fucking had a TV title.
I think it's supposed to be, but the TV title, like, they forget about it after a few weeks, and then it just becomes, you know, well, we can't think of another way to say Intercontinental without sounding stupid, like the Global Championship, but...
But I think if you really want to distinguish the IC, like, from away from the US title, that'd be perfect, because let's face it, we've all been getting into the US title just as much as the world title recently, because, or if not so more, because it's been defended each week, and it's all about just great wrestling.
And you know what? I still say that they are doing a good job with this kind of, like, the special things that they're doing, like bringing the Elimination Chamber for a special for the network. And I st- still say bring back the whole Great American Bash thing. Do that around July.
The Great American Bash and Booger.
Build that around the U.S. Open Challenge. It's a big Independence Day, July 4th kind of thing. You want this title to be worth a damn like that? Make that a huge fucking event on the network.
All for it. Oh, but you're going to build that all around a match that you don't know who the contender is going to be?
Yeah.
You could do that if you build.
And who? How do you decide who gets to take that shot? Like, wouldn't everyone like be meeting at the entrance gate like, oh, well, let's go?
You know what? You fucking say that they've already been, like, they've already accepted the challenge, but it's not going to be announced to the night, and you build it up to be someone fucking huge.
Yeah, even say that, like, John Cena doesn't know, but the papers have been signed backstage and stuff. He's got an open challenge and whatever. And
okay, that's cool. Yeah, I could dig that.
Or even just don't say anything and just let the fans go, well, wait a minute, this is supposed to be a big event, and we don't know who's going to face him. And people go nuts. They always speculate crazy things, so they're gonna
their imaginations thinking, just run wild.
Yeah, they're gonna start thinking, you know, well, what if Triple H does it? What if, you know, they're just gonna go crazy with it. Yeah, so,
but you know what more likely they're gonna do? Make it an app poll.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. That's
true. I have one final thought about this before we move on, and I thought about this earlier before Raw actually. It's a sad day for NXT, and it's because the great days of what was it, the big NXT 5 or 6 or whatever it is, are done, I think. You got Atami and Zayn with injuries or potential injuries. Kevin Owens looks like he's bound for coming on the main roster. I don't think it's going to be too much longer for Finn Balor either. I think it's done. And I think it's moving on to the next generation. I think the NXT will be fine. I'm not worried about it, but just that golden age of all those guys being there together, I think is coming to an end.
It, you know what? It's something that would have ran its course anyway. There's only so many matchups that are there. It was cool to see what the independents would look like if the WWE ran it, and that's what we got to experience. And that's a cool phase in NXT, which I don't think will ever be duplicated. Mm-hmm. But it'll always look fondly on. So overall, I'm taking it away as a more positive experience. And these guys were always too good for NXT, and that's why NXT ruled. At the end of the day, it's developmental.
Well, here's the thing, is we kind of do get to see it all play out again on the main roster.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, it happens right. You know, I'm sure at least one of those guys is going to get lost in the shuffle somehow and not get his fair shake. But
Itami's going to get fucked. Kevin Owens, I think, will do fine.
Plus, there's the other people that are in NXT that are still good. I mean, the women on there are just awesome.
Oh, no, I'm not worried for NXT at all. They're going to do well. They got the women. They got that
Enzo and Nation Cass
guy coming up. Enzo and Cass. Fucking Tyler Breeze is still down there.
Murky.
Oh, and of course, the legendary, and as Drew touted, should be a main eventer, Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
I have not touted him to be a main event.
No, I think that was Miguel's idea, actually.
No, that was Sean.
Seven Seasons?
No, I've never seen him as a main eventer.
I love that joke.
We had a matchup tonight between Dolph Ziggler and Stardust, but if you blink, you missed it. It happened so goddamn fast. Dolph Ziggler getting the victory via the zigzag. It was after this that he had that whole speech and where Lana came out, but I don't think we have anything to say about this match with Ziggler and Stardust, right?
Michael Cole fucking up, if anything.
I knew Stardust wrestled. I didn't know who he wrestled against. I turned away and I missed it. So I saw the Lana and Dolph Ziggler segment, but I didn't see this match. I don't know if they elaborated anymore on what it looked like Cody was struggling within himself. Like after his match at Payback, the face paint was off most of the way and he seemed demoralized. So I don't know if there's something more to that, and I don't know if they recapped that tonight, but I didn't see anything.
They did, but not very well. It was very quickly. They were more focused on getting to this Ziggler-Lana shtick.
At least it was Stardust facing him instead of Fat Dust.
If they're going to strip Stardust of this character, I'm kind of confused. Why not have just had it result like him getting rid of that in the Goldust feud? Why do it now? If you was going to have him be Stardust, you should have gone all the way and give him some inside direction.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Indeed. I was watching on my iPad through my projector, and during the commercial breaks, when you watch through the USA app, it doesn't actually play commercials. It plays this annoying, like, generic rock track. So I actually went and transferred over to the WWE app and saw what they played during the commercials. And during one of the commercial breaks, they actually showed Dolph Ziggler getting his stitches. Fucking nasty. Crazy to see when you consider, like, they're so against showing blood, but they're going to show this guy getting stitched up.
Yeah, they never have a problem with showing that type of thing, and I don't know why. And they'll be like, hey, want to see some surgery? Look at that quad getting replaced. Yeah.
Oh man, I remember Triple H. Yeah, during Triple H's comeback, they showed like his leg like torn open on the operating table. I'm like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I remember
that. At least like prepare me for that. Like, I want to look away.
I remember a while back when Brian got cut open really bad, that there was a video of them literally stitching Brian's forehead back up, and I thought that was pretty brutal. So seeing this was kind of like the same boat in a sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a short headbutt too.
Yes, it was quite short.
But I guess if you want to hear more about that, you'll have to listen to Smack Talk on SmartGuyMoment.com.
Yes, indeed.
We had a tag match play between Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the newly reformed team reunited, teaming up with, I so sorry to Fandango, who has dropped to the level where he is teaming with Zack Ryder to be
Rose.
No, it was Zack Ryder.
No, I meant I thought it was Adam Rose and not Fandango.
No, it was Fandango.
Oh God!
No, Adam Rose was too busy.
No, I feel even worse about this segment. That's how much I paid attention.
He was too busy with Rose Mendez backstage and that random insert that made no sense, and they didn't capitalize or build on it at all.
Indeed, I think that's gonna just like be something they do. Like they're just gonna randomly see those two making out in places backstage.
And it had to go right after the Lana thing. So it was like two people kissing the ring. Let's cut to the back. Oh, look at that. Two other people kissing. Lots of people kissing.
It was Rose and who else?
Rose and RZA.
They actually brought back the kiss cam, but they forgot to put the animation up.
No.
And they forgot to play, what's his name's theme? Kali's Punjabi Playboy theme.
So I know we got a lot to say about this matchup. Eric Rowan and Luke Harper getting a very easy victory after a pretty short matchup. Poor Fandango, really. Just poor, poor Fandango.
At least Rowan's looking better. I mean, now he like actually seems like he's worth a damn, which is kind of weird because he got this odd, like, not push when he turned babyface. Like, it seemed like he was going to be something, and then they just had him lose every match. And, you know, that seems like a solid tag team, though, so I'm down for that. But it's just a shame that Fandango had to be a part of it.
We had the Bella Twins getting caught by Stephanie McMahon backstage, who lets them know that Brie is going to be entered into what was she said? It's like psychological evaluation or whatever the hell she's sending her to. I told you guys, Brie Bella's a wreck. This is like something I tried to pitch as like one of our jokes before, like emotionally wrecked freaking Brie Bella, and now they're playing it out on TV.
So this whole Brie mode thing, we're kind of worried about it. You need to seek help.
Brie, you need to stop going into Brie mode. Seriously, you're embarrassing us at the company parties.
I am embarrassing shit.
You're embarrassing.
I could imagine her getting shit-faced and just screaming, Brie mode!
I used to be champion before my sister got it.
basically that was why Brie Bella was not allowed to be at ringside for this next match for the Divas title. It was Nikki Bella against Naomi, who got to keep Tamina Snuka in her corner for this matchup. Nikki Bella ended up getting the win via disqualification, though, when Tamina runs in and super kicks her after she hits the rack attack. I can't think of much to say with this. This was not bad. It wasn't great. I'm assuming that we're going to see these Divas fight again in Elimination Chamber.
I had a slight problem with it.
What's that?
Outside of the match being kind of sloppy, my main issue with this is you've got a 2-on-1 advantage. Just give the girl the fucking win. There's no need for a DQ finish. The whole point that Bree's not out there should give the heels the advantage for them to get the win no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that stupid. If you're going to take her out of it, you should make it mean something.
Isn't Nikki on, like, some record-breaking Divas title reign right now, too?
Really?
She's had that title for a while, hasn't she?
She has had it for a while. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, there's been a few moments where we thought she was definitely going to lose, but it never happened.
She won it at what, Survivor Series?
Something like that. It's been quite some time. It's not like super high, but it's like fourth or fifth or something like that.
I'm going to remember the Divas title hasn't been around that long.
No, it's only been like, what, 2008? Something like that. So we see Triple H and Kevin Owens shaking hands backstage. And then we have Kevin Owens interviewed by Renee Young, still looking beautiful, where we find out that he has a match with John Cena at Elimination Chamber. Fucking awesome.
Very excited for it.
And then we had our main event, which was a celebration of Seth Rollins. All the Authority members are in the ring saying their praises for Seth Rollins. I feel like we've had this segment like 15 fucking times. They continue the shtick of Joey Mercury not being able to speak. Or it looked like he was about to, but he was interrupted by Dean Ambrose's music. Ambrose gets in a fight with Rollins. They brawl around the ring. He goes to hit Seth Rollins with a chair while having his head propped on top of some cinder blocks. And it ends with Stephanie McMahon granting Dean Ambrose a match at Elimination Chamber for the WWE title. Can't believe he's the first guy they go into after that Fatal 4-Way. Happy, though. He deserves it, and I look forward to it. And we end the show off with Seth Rollins catching Dean Ambrose with a pedigree, looking 100 times better than the one he did last night. And that's how we go off the air.
I got a couple issues.
Okay.
First off, what the fuck... did you take your foot off him and put the other one on? It looked terrible. Mm-hmm. It made it like there's no reason Seth shouldn't have just got up and decked him in the fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. Minor botch. My other issue with this is something that I forgot, so I'm going to let Tony go until I can remember what it was.
Good, yes.
I think this would have played off a lot better if they wouldn't have already had the very beginning of the show be that they're just going to do this later. Like, you don't need to book end the show with the same thing. And we get it. I mean, we've had so many different things now where they've been touting how great Seth Rollins is and stuff like that. And it's fine because that's his character. You know, of course they're going to be doing that. But, man, it's really tough when the end of the show is built up as like, well, we're just going to get all these important people in a tag match. Or, well, we're just going to have a segment where we talk and then we come to the logical conclusion that we all know is going to happen. Like, the best ends of my... you know, Raw, the ones that end in a way that you think that you got to see the next episode, that doesn't make me think that I have to see the next episode. Mm. It makes me think that I'm going to know exactly what's going to happen in the next episode because they follow the same pattern. So, I mean, if you don't throw out any other red herrings for who's going to face Seth Rollins, we know it's going to be Dean Ambrose. The only other thing would have been Kane, and Kane spent the entire night doing the opposite. So... just get to the point where you announce that it's Dean Ambrose, or just, you know, follow your own fucking pattern that you usually do. And when Dean Ambrose comes backstage and he says, I want a title shot, you go, no. And he goes, well, you know, I'm going to figure out a way in the next 2 hours. And they're like, ah, shit. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's do it. You know, like,
I echo the same statements as Tony did there. I've been watching a lot of Attitude Era on the WWE Network, and as overrated as it is, they always, 9 times out of 10, if not more, had an opening segment that set up a main event, which normally ended really fucking high and wanted, and leaving you wanting more. Be it a match being cut short by a vicious assault that's actually good and not a 20-minute beatdown, or be it by some weird controversial ending. And when you have these talking segments that end the show, it always falls flat. Yeah, that's all I got on it. Oh, Drew. Actually, I just remembered that thing I said before. So, she said, if you let him go, I'll give you the title shot. Joey took the fucking chair off him, and you let him go because of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he shouldn't have a title shot.
I think that might come into play. I think there's going to be an argument for that next week on Raw.
I hope so, because that buffered the shit out of me.
Yeah, I actually thought the same thing, but I have a feeling that'll be addressed.
Sorry, Drew. Go on.
Go ahead, Drew.
Shit.
All right, fuck you. You're done talking.
Oh, well, fuck, man. I'm onward.
Well, I choose to talk when I'm allowed to, and not during Miguel's plugs.
Hey, I wasn't talking. I was making noises.
All right. Well, since Drew has nothing to add to this, I think we can go ahead and move on to the last part of the segment here, or the show, I should say, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talked about what we thought the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most embarrassing, dumbass, shitty part of the show was on Raw tonight. You in the chat room, we invite you to send us your good, bad, and ugly while we're putting ours out there, and we'll read them off in a little bit. In the meantime, let's ask the hosts what the good, the bad, and the ugly was. Drew, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
Well, my good for the night definitely has to be the Kevin Owens beatdown and that whole segment in general with John Cena. I think it's a great way to establish him as someone who could definitely face Cena in the future, depending on what they do with Extreme, not Extreme, the Elimination Chamber.
That thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a pay-per-view on the network, which is the thing.
Yeah, of course. My bad, I'll just go with the Divas because, yeah, that's about it. And my ugly for the night. And it's not even so much of an ugly, just how salty Michael Cole was when everything just fucked up and his day was his turn to shit, because I thought it was funny.
That seems like the thing that's going to bother him for a while, too.
No, that's something like something similar will happen to it in the future. And he'll just, like, have a mental lapse. Just go, God damn it, guys, can we not fucking do anything?
No, like, him and JBL are going to be, like, driving to the next town, and they're going to be on, like, that long stretch of highway, and it's going to be super quiet, and, like, you know, JBL's, like, sitting back and just getting ready to, like, you know, fall asleep, and Cole will be like, JBL, what the fuck, man?
That, or JBL will try to, like, mess around with him and be like, all right, I'm just going to try to get some sleep. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. And he's like, all right, 3, 2 Then a little shit-eating grin on his face because you know it's pissing cold.
Good night, Michael.
I kind of wish Booker could be in the back seat and just go. Ah.
He just pops up from the back seat like they didn't know he was in there. Pops right up.
A Booker in the box.
That would be like for a fucking car accident. Why did you get into a car accident? Fucking Booker T just popped up in my backseat and scared the shit out of me.
Oh, you know how they have that new show with the guy from Jackass? That sounds like definitely a good stunt for it.
Y'all been swerved.
Oh, stop swerving. Ah, shit.
And he starts doing it on Tough Enough because he's so fucking stupid he gets the shows mixed up.
Oh, gosh. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good, it's Kevin Owens. No point in me going over it again. I've just talked and marked enough about it. So, for my bad, there was nothing that was horrible on this show. So I'm probably just going to give it to the main event segment just because it's a talking segment. Didn't need to happen. And it kind of happened multiple times in the show. It was really growing old. Yeah. Happy for Dean Ambrose, but not happy with what they did. I don't have an ugly.
Well, all right then. Tony, yeah. You're good, bad, and ugly.
Good's going to be Kevin Owens again. We don't need to run that down. Fucking awesome. Bad is going to be Michael Cole fucking up because that was just fucking funny. The ugly, huh. Think about giving it to the good man, the ugly theme at this point. But no, I'm going to have to do the totally unfair treatment that WWE is giving to the tag team champions, forcing them to defend their title in the Elimination Chamber. Completely unfounded. These guys deserve better than that.
Oh, you know what? We forgot to point out a really good joke that they had when New Day was coming out, and they were talking about how many teams they had to defend it against. And Big E kept going, five teams. And eventually Eddie Kofi's five. Like, 3 ain't enough?
I loved that. That was fucking great. Yeah, it took me a second to realize it, too. I was like, why is it 3 and a... Oh, fuck.
Yeah, really good callback. Read out a few out of the chat room here real quick before I do mine. By God, saying the good Kevin Owens, bad. Not enough Kevin Owens. Actually, enough Ken Owens. And ugly Kevin Owens. Creepus on the radar saying good Booker T calling Lana trash. Bad Nikki not showing Tim ass cheeks. And ugly Tamina was on TV again. Good. This is Ferris 419. Good. Kevin Owens making me mark out. The bad, the Devers, and ugly Rollins being completely helpless under Ambrose's foot.
Oh my god, it's a foot.
There's the foot pun.
Rollins can't say much. He kind of fucking did it to Edge.
This is very, very true. My good, bad, and ugly. My good, I am going to make it pretty much unanimous for us here. Kevin Owens, fucking awesome tonight. honorable mention to Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. I thought they had a really good outing tonight. My bad, I'm going to give to that. Both, I'm going to say more the main event segment, but the opening two, I am so tired of these authority segments sandwiching these shows. Like, I get they're the big authority, GM, whatever you want to freaking call them up there. They don't need to be all over the show. And the sad thing is they haven't been there for a few weeks, and I'm sick of it. Because we still had it, you know, whether it was with Kane or Seth Rollins and J&J or whatever it was. But, fuck. And my ugly, I'm going to give to poor Fandango and where he is at right now. Guy deserves better, and I think this was his last shot. This whole thing with Zack Ryder. They might actually run this as a tag team for a little bit, as an enhancement tag team for the other people. But in the end, this is not good for Fandango.
That didn't occur to me, but I'm going to echo the same for my ugly.
Yeah, there you go. With Thanks, that, Jason. Folks, we're going to start wrapping things up here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. I'm going to give these hosts one last turn to speak some things, mostly telling you about the other projects they got. So please keep your ears tuned and listen to what they got to say, because if you enjoy this, you might enjoy these other things they got to tell you about. Drew, what do you got to say?
Follow me on Twitter at Joseph White, and you can go to my YouTube, which is Mick Frickin' Duncan. I still have yet to figure out how to spell it, but also you can go there and see what I like, what I comment on, and what I favorite. So yeah, do that.
Thanks, Drew.
You're welcome.
We go.
All right, Addicted to Anime is going to be returning right here on Mega Powers Radio. Me and the host right now are binging a shit ton of shows to bring you a whole bunch of new content, new segments. It's going to be me, Jonna, back again, along with our roommate, Emily. So that's going to be awesome, a lot of fun.
Who's Jonna back again?
Jonna back again. I like it. That's her new stage name. She doesn't know yet. And also check out Wago Rants. It's available on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. I talk about wrestling, MMA, retail. And for any more info on me, check out StephenWago.com, at SteveWago on Twitter, and Facebook.com/StephenWago.
Retail. Let me tell you, right? Man, I can't stand when people ask me to go and look if we have stuff in the back.
I know. I go back there, and then I eat my sandwich and put my earphones on and take a picture.
Oh, man. You should post it to Instagram.
I know, right?
Maybe even with your legs crossing.
But whatever you do, not even for $1 million, don't make a porno. Alright, folks, I'm going to stop talking enough nonsense. You have no idea what we're going into. If you enjoyed this show and you want to hear us ranting more about Monday Night Raw, join us at the end of the show. Oh yeah, Tony has plugs, right? Well, too fucking Tony, bad, he doesn't get
you
to
do a show, right?
Go, Tony.
SmartOutMoment.com, Smack Talk Podcast. You can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/SmartOutMoment. We're going to be posting that up tomorrow. We're going to do this ahead of time. So stay tuned for that. For FanboysAnonymous.com, all the geek culture stuff, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Fanboys Anonymous on YouTube. And, of course, the All Talk Show, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/AllTalkShow. So just go looking for a Mango Tree stuff. Lots of shit out there.
Indeed. All right, folks, this time I get to say it. If you enjoyed this show, join us every single Monday night after Raw goes off the air, where you will find the most interactive post-Raw experience available right here on MegaPowersRadio.com. Always inviting y'all to be involved and get your voices heard. And of course, you get to hear our unique brand of humor as we run down all the events that happen on that night's show. If you can't be here live, though, which is the best way to do it, we make it available in lots of archived means. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio, YouTube.com, and SmartOutMoment.com. Again, if you are finding us via those means, please take the time to leave us some positive feedback. It helps us climb the charts. It helps other people find us. One of the best ways you could support the show, or if you want to go the extra step in supporting the show, find Mega Powers Radio on Patreon. It's patreon.com/MegaPowersRadio, where you can make a regular monthly contribution as little as $1. That's right, just $1 a month. You can help support Mega Powers Radio become a bigger and better station. So thank you all for listening. For Drew White, for Stephen Wago, and for Anthony Mango, this has been the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. And we'll see y'all next time, right here